Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Beauty for Ashes. I'm your host, Prophet Kyle Miller. The Bible says in Isaiah 61:3 that the Lord Jesus will give us beauty for ashes, an oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Isn't it so good to know that no matter what situation we encounter, no matter what trials, no matter what tribulations, God is always there with us, and he's always right there on our side.
Hello? 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 Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Awesome. Okay. I was having some audio issues, so who's speaking?
This is Tamara.
Hey, Tamara. This is Prophet Kyle. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing well. I was called in under a new technology, and initially people weren't hearing me, so I'm glad that you're on the line tonight and looking forward to spending time with you in this teaching.
Yes. Same here.
Amen.
I'm excited to be in here.
Well, awesome. Well, I'll be joining you in a second, okay?
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. All righty. So I'll start over again because I actually record these episodes. I'm on in Africa right now, in Nigeria and in Ghana. And I actually take the recording of these shows, and then I use them also for my broadcast as well. And I appreciate everyone being patient this evening. I'm actually trying out a new technology for the blog show, and so apparently it seems like in the very beginning, we weren't getting any sound, but it looks like we're okay now. So we'll go ahead and get started in just 1 second. If you guys will just bear with me, guys, I promise you, I'm usually a lot more professional and together than this. Okay. Well, welcome to Beauty for Ashes. I'm your host, Prophet Kyle Miller. The Bible says in Isaiah 61:3 that the Lord Jesus will give us beauty for ashes, an oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So that means that no matter what trial, what tribulation, what situation is going on in your life, God is there with you, and he's always got a good plan for you. Amen and amen. Well, I'm excited to teach to you on something that I haven't taught in a while, and I titled it The Power of Prophecy. I'll say that again, The Power of Prophecy. You know, prophecy, when it's administered by the unction of the Holy Spirit through the revelation of Jesus Christ, can be very, very powerful. And so tonight is going to be a very impactful night. I'm going to go through some teachings and explaining why prophecy is still significant today. And some of you may wonder, Brother Kyle, what do you mean by that? Prophecy is still significant today. Well, it is. unfortunately, there's been some teaching that, and it just basically happens from time to time, where it gains a momentum where people begin to teach this teaching that basically we don't need prophecy anymore. We have our Bibles, and if the Holy Spirit would talk to us and we've got our Bibles, that's all we need. And, you know, that sounds very good, sounds very spiritual. The only thing about it is it's not very biblical. Amen. It's not very biblical. And so lately what I've been doing both on my Facebook wall that I have and also in a lot of the teachings that I've been doing is I've been going through what I call prophecy myth busters, you know, myth busters within the prophetic and prophetic understanding, because a lot of people unfortunately have a misunderstanding about prophecy. What is prophecy? Why it's significant? Why we still have prophets today? You know, there's some people who even say that we don't even need prophets anymore. But, you know, I would beg to differ on that for the express reason, because it says in Ephesians chapter 4 that God gave us apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. And so what that scripture basically means is that God has put what we like to call the fivefold ministry gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. God has put these ministry gifts within the body of Christ so that we can help work towards perfecting the saints, so that then the saints can go and do the work of the ministry. Amen. And so that is the reason why we have prophets today, because prophets are part of, is one part of the fivefold ministry gift, and all of these ministry gifts have their purpose and place within the body of Christ. And so I'm going to do a little teaching tonight on why we need personal prophecy, because I feel as though, as I was saying earlier, there's been a lot of erroneous teaching that, you know, basically we don't need prophecy anymore. I had the Holy Spirit. God can talk to me. I don't need no prophet telling me what God is saying. Well, you know, that sounds very spiritual. Unfortunately, like I said again, it's not biblical. And so I would like to go through some teachings tonight to kind of inform us on why we need prophecy and why God has prophets. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn to Isaiah 60:1-3. Most scholars would say that Isaiah was probably one of the most prolific prophets that ever walked this earth. And Isaiah 60:1-2, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you." And so the Lord is saying right here that in the last days, basically as the earth gets darker and darker, that God is saying that although this darkness is going to cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord is going to rise upon you and his glory will appear upon you. So what that scripture is saying is that no matter how dark it gets, no matter how evil it gets, no matter how bad it gets, God is always going to have his remnant. God is going to always have a remnant of sold out, on fire, born again, tongue talking, Jesus believing saints who believe him that are going to stand on his word. And the scripture says that those who do, that they are going to be carriers of his glory. And you may say, well, Prophet Kyle, what is God's glory? God's glory, that's his manifested presence here in the earth realm, meaning that God's manifested presence is literally going to descend upon his people, and his people are going to do great exploits in his name. So prophecy is one of those ways in which we demonstrate God's glory. Now, I'm not saying that prophecy is the only way that we demonstrate God's glory. You know, walking in obedience to God's word brings his glory. The scripture even says in Isaiah 58 that fasting, brings forth God's glory. That the scripture says that as we bring our flesh into subjection, that God says then his glory will shine upon us and our flesh will become healthy. That is God's glory manifesting itself through fasting and prayer. So I'm in no way saying that process it is the only way that God reveals his glory, but it is one way. It is one way. And then in Joel 2:17, verse 17 and 8, it says, "And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my spirit upon all mankind." That word pour my spirit, that can also be translated God's glory. And God says, "I will pour forth my spirit on all mankind," or as King James says, "I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, even on my bond servants, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth my spirit, and they shall prophesy." So when people say, "Oh, well, you know, we don't need prophecy, Brother Kyle, I can hear God for myself." Well, yeah, that's true. You should be able to hear God for yourself. But us being able to hear God for ourselves does not mean that we do not need prophecy or that we don't need prophets. I'm sorry, it's just not in the Bible, you know, and I'm making a conscious effort over the next few months to start busting some myths that have been indoctrinated, so to speak, in the body of Christ, because their understandings that we understand about about prophecy and what God says, that it's not in the Bible, you know. And my view is this, guys. I heard an old prophet who was a mentor of mine. He said, "If you can't book it, it's crooked." If you can't book it, it's crooked. And so, in anything that we look at when we understand prophecy and the prophetic and anything in the Bible, if we can't justify it with scripture, throw it out. You know, so I'm going to be dealing with a lot of different misunderstandings that people understand about the scripture. One of the things that my ministry has been under attack with from a very small segment, you know, most of the people are like you enjoy my ministry, and you've been blessed by it. I love you, you love me, and we've had an opportunity to have an awesome fellowship with each other. But as I've moved towards expanding the ministry, you know, obviously there's resistance, you know. Joyce Meyer always says it this way: new level, new devil. And so as my ministry has continued to grow, I started getting this pushback from a small segment, but a very noisy segment of people who are basically just misinformed about prophecy. And so they have a lot of misunderstandings about prophecy and the scripture and the whole issue of giving and sowing into prophetic ministry. And so for years, I mean years, I'm talking about 10, 15 years, I would never comment to these people. I would let them say their mean things and post their stuff on my Facebook wall or whatever. You know, it's all good because I love everybody, and, you know, people are entitled to their opinions. And I wouldn't say anything. I said, "Well, Lord, you know, you deal with them." But lately, over the past month or so, God has been telling me, "Kyle, I want you to begin to start dealing with these sacred cows as they relate to the body of Christ. And I want you to begin to start informing my people as to what the Bible says." And so I've literally been on my Facebook page and in other areas, I've really been calling people to the carpet and challenging them on their beliefs. Because a lot of these things that people believe about prophecy and giving to prophetic ministry, it's just wrong. It's just not in the Bible. And, you know, it's very interesting. Sometimes I can go through and give someone 7, 8, 9 scriptures that support what I say. And then they'll come back and say, "Well, you know, Brother Kyle, I hear what you're saying, but I still believe what I believe anyway." So, well, that's fine. You're entitled to believe whatever you want to believe. But if you want to believe what the Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman, not be ashamed of the gospel, rightly dividing the word of truth. So in Joel 2:17-18, it says, you know, one of the reasons why we need prophets is because God says, "In these last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy." So one of the signs that we are entering into the last days is that we're going to see a proliferation of prophecy. we're going to start seeing prophecy more in manifestation. So some people now are like, oh, why are we got all these prophets out here prophesying? Why are they saying all this? Well, the scripture says, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your young men are going to see visions, and your old men should dream dreams. Now, let me give you just one little tidbit right here. You know, when I used to always read the scripture and it said that your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams, I always wondered. I was like, Lord, why is it that the young men are having visions, but the old men are dreaming dreams? And, you know, and that used to baffle me. And then, you know, then I grew up with this teaching for a long time where people would say, when you ask them, you would say, okay, well, what's the difference between a dream and a vision? And they say, well, a vision is what you have when you're awake, and a dream is what you have when you're sleeping. Well, that's actually not true. You can actually have a dream while you're sleeping. You know, you don't necessarily, you can have a vision, I should say. You can have a vision while you're sleeping, or you can have a dream while you're sleeping. And so you say, well, Prophet Kyle, what's the difference then between a dream and a vision? Well, visions are more literal. Dreams are symbolic. Visions are literal. Dreams are symbolic. So let's say, for instance, you have a dream, and or better yet, you're asleep, and while in your sleep, you see yourself on a bicycle. The bicycle goes down a road, and you hit a tree and break your leg. I know that sounds pretty sad, doesn't it? God forbid you would have a vision like that. But you see this in your dream, right? And so then fast forward a month later, 6 months later, whatever, and you're on your bicycle, you're riding down the hill, you hit a tree and you break your leg. That would be a vision. That means that was a situation where God showed you something that was to come, and it happened exactly like you saw it. You know, some people call that deja vu. You know, a lot of us have had that before, where we saw something in a dream, or even while we were awake, we saw something, and what we saw happened exactly how we saw it. That would be an example of a vision. Visions you can have while you're asleep, or you can have a vision while you're awake, like the scripture talks about Peter. Peter was, the scripture said he was somewhere between being asleep and being awake. He was on the roof, and he was hungry. He has this vision where he sees this blanket come down, and he sees this food. Among the food is a pig, and God says, you know, rise and eat. Peter says, oh, no, Lord, I can't eat that. That's unclean. And The Lord says, you know, don't call something that I've called clean unclean, you know. So that was something Peter had while he was awake. That would pretty much be an example of a vision, because then Peter went on to eat. Now, That example is also kind of interesting, because it also has some symbolism like a dream, in that God was also telling Peter that he was going to minister to the Gentiles, which was symbolic of him seeing the pig. So a lot of times when we have a dream is symbolic. So you have a dream. Everybody's probably had dreams like this. You have a dream, and Big Mama dies, or your grandma dies, or Papa dies, or somebody in your family dies. Most of the times when you have a dream of somebody dying, it's typically symbolic. Most of the times in a dream, when you see somebody dying, what it's literally saying is that there is a dying to a particular relationship that you have. So let's say if it's your mom and you and your mother have a great relationship, what it's typically saying, if you saw in a dream that your mother was dying, what that's typically saying is that there's a significant relationship that's as significant as your mother, your relationship with your mother, that's about to end. So it's symbolic. So saying all that to say, we talk about dreams being literal, visions being symbolic. Let me reverse that. Visions being literal, dreams being symbolic. visions being literal, dreams being symbolic. So you have visions that are literal, dreams that are symbolic, and so you have you have these visions and you have these dreams. And the scripture says, in the last days that your old men shall see dreams and your young men shall see visions. Now, I believe personally, and this is just my opinion, so you can take it and judge it however you like. I believe that the reason why the scripture says that the young men shall and your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams is this. You know, it takes a little bit of maturity to interpret dreams because dreams are symbolic. And so I think what the Lord is saying is that the young men or the people who are not as spiritually mature, they typically have more visions because they're not at the level where they're skilled to have dreams, where they can interpret dreams, because dreams are typically more symbolic, whereas older people are typically, if they've been grown in the Lord, they typically understand some biblical symbolism and things a lot more because they're more spiritually mature. And then the scripture says, I will in those days pour forth my spirit and they shall prophesy. So one of the keys or signs of the last days is that basically we're going to see more prophecy. You know, so that's why scripture even says, you know, that we shouldn't despise prophecy. Amen. So now then 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 and 10, and I'm going to open up the phone lines probably about another 5 minutes. I see right now we have about 15 callers on the line. I'm going to open up the phone lines in about 5 minutes and I'll begin to start ministering to your needs. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it gives a very long dissertation or discourse as it relates to prophecy. And this is what it says. It says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. So we know that we have 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14, that are basically what I like to call the chapters dealing with spiritual gifts. And then sandwiched between 12 and 13 is we have 1 Corinthians 13 that basically gives us a total understanding of the love of Christ and how basically if we don't have the love of Christ, it doesn't really matter how gifted we are as it relates to 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. So in the middle of 12 and 14, which does all this conversation about spiritual gifts, is we have this whole passage dealing with love, you know, and I think that's very, very significant. You know, an old man, well, let me say this. When I started out in ministry, I started out as an intercessor. And, you know, most prophets are intercessors. Better yet, let me say it this way. All prophets are intercessors. Real prophets, if you're called to prophetic ministry, you're an intercessor. You know, the whole ministry of intercession is how I learned how to hear from the Lord. You know, people would have their prayer requests to me. I would take the prayer request. I would pray for them. And then as I would pray for them, God would give me prophetic words for them. And it was through that ministry that I learned how to hear the voice of the Lord. And so people say it this way, you know, all prophets are intercessors. All intercessors may not be prophets, but all prophets are intercessors. You know, it's part of our ministry. We look at Abraham. Abraham was a prophet. God came to him and told him he was going to destroy Sodom. Abraham immediately began to pray. Moses was a prophet. God would come to Moses and talk to him. The scripture says that Moses was so close to God that whereas most prophets, he would speak to them in a riddle or a dream or a vision. However, his servant Moses, he spoke to him face to face. But Moses was an intercessor. Periodically, you know, God would come and say, hey, I'm going to do this. He told Moses, I'm going to destroy this generation. I'm going to kill them off. I'm going to restart with you. And we're going to start this thing all over again. Moses began to intercede and pray and ask the Lord if the Lord would change his mind. And the Lord did. So intercession is a very, very critical point of prophecy. And, you know, a lot of times when prophets are shown things, it's not even for them to administer. It's God showing those things to the prophet so that then the prophet can go into his prayer closet and pray. Okay. So 1 Corinthians 14, starting at verse 1, follow after charity. So God says, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. Okay, so I'm going to say that again. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. So God is saying two things right there. He says, okay, let's get everything in perfect priority. Our first priority is to follow after love. Now, we know the scripture says that God is love. So if we're saying follow after love, basically we could say it this way, follow after Christ. Follow after Jesus' way of doing things. So our first priority as ministers of the gospel, as servants of his, is to follow after Christ and desire spiritual gifts. So first we follow after love, and then we desire spiritual gifts. And the scripture says that we are to desire spiritual gifts. And the scripture even says in one translation, it says, and covet spiritual gifts. Covet. I looked up that word covet. It means to long for, to deeply desire, to lust after. Think about that. It says to long for, to deeply desire, to lust after. Do you lust after spiritual gifts? The Bible says you should. The Bible says that, according to scripture, to desire spiritual gifts, that we should all, as God's servants here in the earth realm, that we should be desiring spiritual gifts. And I wish I was teaching 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but the scripture says it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, God has given the spirit to every man to profit withal. And basically what that scripture means is that God has given each and every born again, blood-bought believer, that means you, if you receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, which I'm sure probably 90 to 95% of you who are listening to me now have, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the scripture says that you have received at least one spiritual gift. So then you say, well, Prophet Kyle, what's my spiritual gift? I said, well, you can request a prophetic word and I can tell you. Or you can continually seek after the Lord and desire after the Lord and will reveal it to you. But he said, but then rather that you may prophesy. And then now he begins to explain why prophecy, we should desire spiritual gifts, but then out of the spiritual gifts, the gift that we should desire the most is prophecy. Now, let me explain something. This was the letter that Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Corinth. Okay, so Apostle Paul wrote this to a body of believers, a church in Corinth. Apostle Paul didn't write this letter to an apostle. He didn't write this letter to other prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. He didn't write this letter to fivefold ministry gifts. He wrote this to the body of Christ. And we're going to see later, it says, Apostle Paul says this way, he says, I wish that you all may prophesy. So we have what's called prophetic ministry. We have the prophet. But then the scripture also says that we all should be able to prophesy. We should all be able to speak a word of the Lord to people. You know, and I teach conferences where I go around and activate people in their gifts so that people can prophesy, because everybody, according to the scripture, should be able to prophesy. Okay. Then he goes on, for he that speaketh in unknown tongues speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For no man understandeth, howbeit in the spirit he speaks forth mysteries. And that's mentioned again in Romans chapter 8 as well. That's basically talking about being filled with the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And it says that when we speak in an unknown tongue, we don't speak unto men, but we speak unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks forth mysteries. So that's why we pray in tongues. We pray in tongues so that we can come to understand God's mysteries. And when we pray in tongues, we speak forth God's mysteries. I like to say it this way. When we pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit literally does a download into our spirit man. And then our spirit man begins to speak God's perfect will for our life here in the earth realm. Remember the scripture says in Genesis chapter 1, starting verse 26 and 27, and when it talks about how God gave Adam dominion over the fish, the fowl of the earth and the air, and over every creeping thing. And he said he gave them dominion over everything. And it was from that very point in the garden back in Genesis that God then gave man control and authority here in the earth realm. And so now we as his ambassadors, his born-again believers here in the earth realm, we've been given the charge to speak and decree and declare Christ's perfect will here in the earth realm. I like the way, I think Tozier said this, the old prayer word, A.W. Tozier. He says that, no, actually it was John Edwards, the founder of the Methodist Church. John Edwards said it this way. He said, I am convinced that nothing in this earth good happens without prayer. And basically what Jonathan Edwards was basically affirming, which is what it said back in Genesis chapter 1 and 26 and 27, that God has established us here in this earth realm as his ambassadors to pray and to speak and declare his perfect will in the earth realm. And you say, well, Prophet Kyle, I hear what you're saying, but that was the Old Testament. Well, let's fast forward to the New Testament. You remember when Jesus was talking to the disciples and he says, behold, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. That's both in Matthew 16 and Matthew 18. He said, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. And so whatsoever things you bind here on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever things you loose here on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, isn't it interesting? He didn't say whatsoever things you bind in heaven will be bound here on the earth. And whatsoever things you loose here in heaven will be loosed on the earth. No, he said, whatsoever things you bind here in the earth shall be loosed in heaven, and whatsoever things you loose here on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So what is God saying? And then Jesus says, and I'm now giving those keys over to you. So what the Lord is saying is he has given us the keys, the power, and the authority to speak and decree those things which are to happen here in the earth realm, so that then they will go to the heaven, the angels will be dispatched in the heavenlies, and then begin to cause those things that we desire here on the earth to manifest themselves. Remember, the scripture says it this way: if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, and then and et cetera, et cetera. And then the scripture says, then I will hear from heaven and I will bless the land. So the scripture says that when we, his people, who are called by his name, when we, his blood-bought, blood-washed Christian believers, when we humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, the scripture says, then God will hear from heaven and he will answer our prayer and he will heal our land. Amen. And so, you know, that's a teaching I've been teaching a lot lately, you know, because I feel like really we as believers, we've been getting way too uptight on who the president is. You know, oh, Lord, now Donald Trump is the president. The whole world is going to turn into hell. Or, you know, oh, no, we can't let that Hillary get in, because if Hillary gets in, Jezebel is going to take over and the whole world is going to turn into sin. Well, that might be true. Either one of those scenarios, if we don't do anything and we don't pray. But, beloved, it's something you've got to understand. The scripture says in Chronicles, in 1 Chronicles 7, it says, if my people who were called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. So he's not talking to the unbeliever in that scripture. He's talking about those people. At that point in time, that was the Jews, God's covenant people. We now know that we've been engrafted in, and we are now heirs according to the promise, according to Abraham. Jesus has now made us seeds of the promise. And so that same promise that God gives the Old Testament saints is the same one he's given us, because now we are heirs according to the promise through the seed of Christ that is now dwelling on the inside of us. The scripture says that now in Galatians that we are now Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So any promise that God made in the Old Testament is now applicable to us, because we are heirs to the seed according to Jesus Christ, from Abraham, or Abraham through Jesus Christ. And so the scripture says it this way, you know, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will answer their prayer, and I'll heal their land. So, guys, what I'm saying is this. It doesn't matter if Hillary Clinton is in office. Don't matter if George Bush came back. God bless George Bush. I actually like George Bush. That's just my personal opinion. Donald Trump, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, whoever gets into office and becomes Mike Pence, whoever gets into office and becomes president, the scripture says it really doesn't matter, because the scripture says it this way: if my people who were called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll answer their prayer, and I'll heal their land. The point I'm trying to make on all that is this: you know, sometimes I feel like we are like Israel. You remember how Israel had the judges? They probably had one of the best leaders they could have ever had in Samuel. And they looked over and they looked at all what all the other nations had, and all the other nations had kings. So Israel said, we want a king too. Give us a king. And most of the times what our attitude is being, okay, well, we need to get this right leader in office. And then we get this right leader in office, they're going to get up in there and they're going to fix everything. And, you know, everything's going to be wonderful. We're going to eat candy. You know, we're going to eat candy cotton, and everything's going to be unicorns and rainbows and bonbons. But guys, the scripture is saying that we have the spiritual responsibility to see our nations turn around. Our nation is only going to turn around through us. Our nations, I know my brothers and sisters in Africa that listen to me, our nations are going to turn around through our prayers. It's not going to be because Donald Trump is in office, or Benjamin Netanyahu, or Hillary Clinton, or Bernie Sanders, or whoever. Our nation is not going to turn around because we put a president in the White House, or whatever country you come from that you put a president in leadership. The scripture says that when my people who are called by my name would turn from their wicked ways, then I will look from heaven, I'll hear their prayers, and I'll heal their land. That's what the scripture says. So that's one of the reasons why prophecy is so important. Okay. But he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. So that's the whole purpose for prophecy. A prophetic word is supposed to edify you, it's supposed to exhort you, and it's supposed to comfort you. Don't have a long time to teach on edification, exhortation, and comfort, but I've actually done a word study, and these words are a lot more in-depth than what you think they are. I just don't have time to teach it right now. Verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 14. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. Okay, so what's the purpose of prophecy? Prophecy is to edify the believers. That's one of the purposes for prophecy. Prophecy is to edify believers. That word edify means to build up. It means to encourage. It means to lift up. That word edify also means to correct. Okay? You know, some people say, well, you know, prophecy is supposed to be for edification, exhortation, and comfort. So they, basically what they mean by that is that, you know, prophecy can never correct. It can never, bring direction. But when you study those words out, and I just don't have time to teach that tonight, but when you study those words out, those words have deeper meanings. And, you know, even the word edification, one of the definitions for the word edification means to tear down in order to refortify and build up. I'm going to say that again. One of the definitions of edification, when you look it up, it means to tear down in order to refortify and build up. So what that means is that sometimes in an edifying word, a prophetic word, you know, it may not always be roses and daisies, but God may mention something to you, which is aimed at dealing with the area of your personality that he wants to break down so that he can edify, so that he can build you up and refortify you. You know what I mean? Sometimes there's things in our lives, parts of our soul that are not conformed to the will of the Lord. They don't exemplify Christ. I know that, you know, one of my personality quirks is, you know, sometimes I can have a very sharp tongue. You know, somebody can say something, I can fire back with something that's very mean. And so what the Lord has done over the course of my 20-something years of salvation is he's broke me down and humbled me. You know, and I'll be honest, I haven't totally arrived, but, you know, I'm getting there. Amen. So, y'all pray for my strength in the Lord. So it's so much to teach on this, but just in closing, excuse me, I'm getting ready to open the phone lines in a few seconds. And if you are interested, you can call in at 347-996-3442, 347-996-3442. And guys, when I come to the lines, be ready to speak. Be ready to speak. I realize some of you are listening via your phone, so maybe you don't have a question, a comment, a word. You just basically just want to listen in and hear the show, and that's fine. When I come to you, be ready. All right. Let me see. Just in closing, he says, so I would rather, and this is verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 1 and 5, I would rather that you speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesies that he speaks with tongues, except he interprets, that the church may receive edification. And so in that sense, Apostle Paul is talking about more than just, our personal tongues, our prayer tongues. You know, we pray in our own in our personal language when we're in prayer. He's now talking about the gift of tongues with interpretation. You know, there's a gift of tongues. You used to see it a lot in the old Pentecostal church. You don't see it as much anymore, but we should, because it's one of the nine gifts, is that there is a gift of tongues whereby which you can pray in tongues, and then either you or someone else can interpret your tongues. And the scripture says equivalent to personal prophecy. A man that I loved and ministry I followed for a long time, Prophet Kenneth Hagin, he's always say it this way. He used to say that tongues and interpretation of tongues were like two nickels, just as prophecy was a dime. You know, both of them are 10 cents, but one of them, you get to the same, the same product, but a different way. So tongues plus interpretation, two nickels, equals 10 cents in comparison to personal prophecy, which is 10 cents. Both of them do the same thing. It's just basically you come to, the product in a whole different way. Amen. So much for us to teach on this. I'm going to pick this up next week. And then after I get through with this teaching, I'm going to teach a whole teaching on what God has to say about paying for prophecy. Yeah, I'm gonna deal with all these controversial subjects, but after I get through with this teaching, I'm gonna go through another teaching about what the Lord has to say about paying for prophecies, because for one, let me say it this way: you can't pay for a prophecy. I mean, what type of monetary value would you put on it? You know, somebody on my Facebook, they said something about, oh, so you're one of those guys who sells prophecies. And I explained to him, I said, well, how much would you pay for it? I mean, do you really believe that a word from the Lord, a word that's truly spoken from the Lord, is only worth $27? Man, get real. But anyway, I'll be teaching about that in future weeks. Okay, we're going to open up the phone lines. All right, caller, your last four digits are 4232. You're live on there.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How can I help you?
I just wanted a word from God.
All right. What's your name?
Alicia.
Alicia, okay. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for Alicia. Alicia, the Lord says, worry not, my daughter, for all is well. For although you thought that you've been in the storm, and yes, the wind has been blowing, but the Lord says, this is more than just a storm. This is a transition. For the Lord says, I'm moving you out of an old way of thinking. I'm moving you out even the area where you've been, and I'm taking you to a new place. And God says, look to see the change happen on every side. And God says, even that relationship that you contended for and you fought for, and then you say, Lord, I did all this, and it still didn't work out. God says it's okay, because God says it's all a part of my purpose and a part of my timing. But the Lord says, I'm going to align you with some people who have my heart and who love you, and I'm going to align you with some people who will bless you, and I'm going to align you with people that are going to encourage you. And so the Lord says, I literally had to do a separation of some of the people in your life so that I could get you in this place of me. And God says, now that I've got you where I want you, where you're listening to me and you're in tune to what I'm saying, God says, watch and see if I not bring the blessings to you. God says, a significant relationship that you've been praying for, you're going to see that happen real soon. God says, now that you've got things in order, I also see favor coming to you on your job. There's been a situation going on with a coworker. God says, I'm going to deal with that. I'm going to move that person out. So the Lord says, just stand tall, stand strong, stand on my word. And God says, I'm going to bring you through, says the Spirit of the living God.
Thank you.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. And if you're like Alicia and you receive a prophetic word tonight, you can go to my website. I have the link to Blog Talk Radio. You can go there, and then you can go by the date of the show, and you can actually download the show and pull your prophetic word off, you know, if you want to listen to your personal prophecy and keep it. Because I always encourage people after you receive the prophetic word to take it and listen to it again and even transcribe it, type it out if you can. Okay, next caller. Your number is 4860. You're live on air.
Hi, yes.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well.
Okay, I was calling in for a word and prophecy for God, what God has to say regarding me and my husband to have children.
Okay, okay. Well, let me first pray for you, and then we can prophesy. I have seen a lot of success in this area as far as like praying for people to conceive. I would say at least 90% of the people that I pray for have had babies within a year to 2 years. And so I have a lot of faith in that area. So if you don't mind, without having the benefit of me doing a teaching on this, because I have teachings on this, you know, that deal with this issue, if you would just pray this prayer by faith, And I promise you, you're going to get pregnant. So would you just repeat this after me? Okay. Say, Heavenly Father.
Okay. Heavenly Father.
I thank you.
I thank you.
That Jesus Christ was made a curse.
That Jesus Christ was made a curse.
Mm-hmm. That I could be redeemed from the curse.
That I could be redeemed from the curse.
Mm-hmm. And so I lift up my generational bloodline.
So I lift up my generational bloodline.
On both my mother and my father's side.
Both my mother and my father's side.
And I apply the blood of Jesus.
And I apply the blood of Jesus.
To any spirit that would cause infertility.
To any spirit that would cause infertility.
Or cause my baby to not come to full term.
That would cause my baby not come to full term.
Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, if there's any wounds in my soul.
And so, Lord, if there's any wounds in my soul.
As it relates to this issue.
As it relates to this issue.
I apply the glory light of Jesus Christ.
I apply the glory light of Jesus Christ.
The resurrection power of Jesus Christ.
The resurrection power of Jesus Christ.
To every single one of these soul wounds. Mm.
For every single one of these souls.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, there it is. There it is right there. So you should be feeling a heat right now. That's the presence of God just touching you.
Yes.
Yeah, there it is right there. Oh, just receive that. That's his power. God is going through there and cleansing you right now in Jesus' name. And so what's your name again, man? Woman of God?
Joanne.
Joanne. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for Joanne. Father, I speak to that wound. Father, I speak life into that wound. I thank you, Lord, that her and her husband are going to have a healthy baby. And I thank you, Lord, that all is going to be well. And Joanne, the Lord also says that I'm also bringing some financial opportunities to you. You've been kind of playing around with the idea of going into business for yourself. Lord says it's not quite time for you to leave your job. However, God says begin to start birthing that idea, because God says you're going to see little by little that idea that you had is going to become it's going to become very good for you financially. And so, Father, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Father, I speak harvest. I speak harvest into her and her husband's life. And I thank you, Lord. And, Father, I speak and decree that you would cover them with a hedge of protection, that no weapon that's formed against them shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against them in judgment is condemned, because this is their heritage as servants of you. And Father, we praise you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Sister Joanne.
God bless you. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, next caller, your last four digits are 0706. You're live on Air Beauty Fashions.
Hi, Prophet Cal, it's LaVonda. How are you?
Hey, LaVonda, how are you?
Hi, I just wanted to let you know that the last time we spoke back in 2016 December, pretty much everything that you said came to pass, so I definitely wanted you to be encouraged in that area. And then
God,
I just wanted
you
to hear the word of the Lord for 2017.
Sure. So, LaVonda, the Lord says, pull up your saddle and get ready for a ride. God says it's going to be a little bumpy the first part of the year, around until around March. God says then after that, things are going to begin to really, really smooth out. I see you going into ministry full time. Okay. Are you a pastor? LaVonda, are you a pastor?
I am a pastor, but yes, I am.
Yeah. So God says, go ahead and just ride it out. Now, you know, let me explain something. Just because you're a pastor doesn't mean that you have to operate within the walls of the church. It also doesn't mean that you have to be within the traditional rules. Basically, pastoring at its very common core is you basically being intuitive to the needs of God's people. You watching for the souls of a flock of people, you know, so it can be done in a lot of different ways. So don't get too boxed in onto all the traditional ways. But I see a group of people and they're going to be coming to you and you're going to be teaching them the word of God on a weekly basis. And, you know, you're going to be praying over them, prophesying, laying hands on them for healing and things of that nature. And you're going to give them a word that's so practical that they can grasp it and easy. A lot of these people are going to be broken people. They're going to be people who are kind of tired of the status quo. They're tired of religiosity, and they really just want to be able to worship and serve God without all the foolishness. And that's what you're going to bring to them. Is you're going to bring the word to them in a way that's so pure and unfiltered. You know, it's just a way in which they can really just sup of it. God says also too, I see something about a vehicle. You've been seeking God for transportation. God says that's going to work itself out as well. As a matter of fact, I'm hearing the Lord say that you know, your credit is not as bad as you think it is. God says go back, reapply. God says you're going to see it work out a whole lot better this time. And then I also see a relationship coming into play later, somewhere like around June, July, in that area, a relationship, a dear friendship that's then going to blossom. And so, Father, we just thank you so much for LaVonda. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in her life. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that all is well, and that the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Prophet Kyle, the
yes.
One thing that I'm more concerned about is my projects for film industry. That's why I was so hesitant to talk about the pastoring, because I see myself pastoring under those projects, and that is where my heart is as it relates to these various projects that I have. So that's what I'm listening for.
Well, let me share something with you on that. Okay, so, you know, okay, it's, man, so much I can say about this. Okay, let me say this, because I think you know that I do films as well. And
exactly.
And I'm actually getting ready to go into pastoring. So it's a situation where you can do both. You know, it's not
yes.
it's not like a either or. As a matter of fact, the Lord told me, because I was kind of wrestling with it. You know, I've never really had an interest in pastoring. You know, and the Lord spoke to me and told me that He wanted me to pastor. I was invited to pastor a church in the city that I live in, and I've accepted. And of course, that's going to develop over the course of time. However, you know, the Lord told me, he says, you know, you keep praying for me, you keep praying to me and saying, is it this or is it that? And I would say to you that it's this and that. So many times God doesn't take away something, he just adds to it. And the other thing I was just hearing about you and your films is just go ahead and move forward in it. You know, when I'm sensing it's like, you know, sometimes you're kind of like, oh, well, you know, if I had this budget and if I had that, then I could do this and I do that. But, you know, but just start where you are, you know, just start where you are. And move in what you have, and God will do the rest. You know, my very first film, and now it has major distribution, and I did it. I can't even say what my budget was because it's laughable, but it's amazing to me now to look at now that film is all over the world. It's on every digital medium. Mm-hmm. It's in Walmart, Target, Best Buy, et cetera, et cetera. And the budget that I had for it was basically nothing. Mm-hmm. But God put me in contact with an excellent cinematographer, and I had a good script, and I had developed good relationships with actors over the years on different projects, and they just came on board and relinquish their salaries in order for us to make the film. So, you know, be bold in what you have and go for it.
Well, I thank you very much, Prophet. And I honestly do believe that you hear from the Lord, because I've actually seen these things come to pass, and everything that you said are definite, you know, things that have been before that are on my own heart. And so I'll let you know, as these things unfold. Thank
Please
you so
keep me posted, and when your movie comes out, let me know so I can come to the premiere.
You got it. I would definitely let you know that. All right.
Thank you, woman of God. Bye bye. Mm-hmm. Amen. What a beautiful spirit. All right. Hello. Hello. Ooh, we're getting a bad signal. I'm sorry. 7089, if you would, just email me your prayer request, and I'll respond to you. I hate to pass by. I'm sure you probably have been online for a while. So just if you would, email me, prophetkyletmiller@gmail.com, and I'll respond to whatever your question, your concern, or comment is, because the reception for some reason on your line was not very good. All right, caller, your last four digits, 1487.
Yes. Good evening, men of God. My name is Sister Mills, and I need prayer, and also I want to know the heart desire of the Lord for me.
You want to know what the Lord is saying for you?
Yes, his desire is for me.
Okay, what his desire is for you. And then what's your name, ma'am?
Sister Mills.
Sister Mills?
Yes, M-I-L-L-S.
Okay, Sister Mills. Okay. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for Sister Mills. Sister Mills, I see you as being someone who is very learned. I see you also, you're a teacher. God says that one of your gifts to the body of Christ is that of teaching. God says you have ability to take things and teach and understand. I see you doing it in a myriad of ways. I see you in Sunday school. I see you in Bible studies. I see you in prayer meetings, just teaching. And so God says this is a time for you to begin to find those opportunities to teach, you know. And God says it doesn't have to be big. If it's two people, maybe it's a Bible study with you and some of your family members, or some of your coworkers. But just start where you are. And God said you're going to see my hand breathe upon it. I also see that you are very musical. That you have a beautiful singing voice. God says use that for my glory as well. God says that there's an anointing in your voice that breaks the yokes. And God said, you need to begin to start singing and find opportunities to sing. And God says, remember, woman of God, you know, as the scripture says, you know, my gifts will make room for you and bring you before great people. So the Lord says, some people that they don't want to hear you, that's okay. God says, I'll open up a door in another place, because God says that you will be heard, and the voice that I've given you will be listened to, says the Spirit of the living God.
I received that prophecy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, woman. God bless you.
God bless you, woman of God.
I will let you know
you
when I
bless.
I will let you know.
Please do. Please do.
Thank you,
God bless you.
Thank you, Jesus.
God bless you.
God bless you, too. Hallelujah, God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, last caller for tonight, 1308. You're live and on the air, Prophet Kyle.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, woman of God?
I'm good. My name is Mary Cannon.
Hey, Mary.
And I want to work for 2017. Also,
okay.
I want to tell you a little bit about my dreams.
Okay.
I lost my husband in August of the 2015, and
okay.
I've had so many dreams about him, just lots of dreams about him, and over, and it looked like he wanted to tell me something, and then, and then I had dreams about all my uncles that died, my aunts, and it just, you know, and I just was wondering, can you highlight on that?
Yeah, so can you give me one of the dreams that you have about your husband?
And
I just interpreted it.
I was on the side of my house, and he walked right through the gate, and he said, come in the house, and I want you to change my diaper. Now, when I took care of him. He wore diapers, and I took care of him, and you know, what have you. And then I finally put him into the hospital, and then he came back because he was hospice, and then he died. It was another dream that I had about him that he came to me, and he just stood and looked, and it was like he wanted to say something, and then it went away.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the dream where you were standing in the house, and then he said, come in. So what the Lord is saying in that dream is that basically he's giving you a ministry, and part of that ministry is in caregiving. And that was symbolic by the house. House is usually symbolized, not always, but most of the time they symbolize the ministry that God has given us. And then you were going to take care of him, which was a symbol of you being a caregiver. So the Lord is saying that there is a part of your ministry that deals with caregiving. The other dream where you saw your husband, it looked like he had something to say. That is basically symbolic of God saying to you, you know, woman, there is something that I want to say to you. And so that's going to be something where you just contend with the Lord and say, okay, Lord, what is it that you want to speak to me now in this season? And God is going to immediately begin to speak to you and share with you exactly what it is that that he wants to say. Do you keep a journal?
Sometime I do, yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
So I would advise you to keep a journal in your prayer time. You know, you can ask the Lord these questions, and then you just pick up your pen or your pencil, and the spirit of the Lord will just begin to flow through you and begin to share with you what he wants to say. Now, what I always encourage people is when God is speaking to you and you're journaling it, don't analyze it while he's talking, because you have the spiritual side of you, which is your left brain, and then you have your right brain, which is your analytical stuff. And spiritually and scientifically, it's been proven that you can't do both at the same time. I can't be analytical and be tuned into flow at the same time. So I have to be tuned into flow, write out everything that you feel like the Lord is saying, and then after you've moved out of that flow, then you can go back and be analytical and judge it. And then if you're not if you're not sure, then you can also find spiritual people, spiritually minded people that you trust, and have them judge it as well. But I really see God really talking to you significantly in that area. And I even see, even right now as I'm sitting here talking to you, I see you like writing down things, and you're like writing down, even as the flow comes upon you, you're going to be writing out little diagrams of stuff. And God says it's going to be in those diagrams, those demonstration of diagrams, that God is giving you keys to different things and how to do stuff. And God says even some, like the scripture talks about in Proverbs, some witty inventions, you know, are going to come through that time together. So, Father, I thank you for it. And what's your name again?
Mary Cannon.
And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for Mary. And Mary, what I heard as soon as you said your name the first time, I heard, Mary, Mary, quite contrary, how does your garden grow? And God says, Mary, I'm going to begin to enable you to grow a garden with my word. And God says it'll be with my word that you will sow these seeds and you will begin to see a harvest begin to take place. For the Lord says within your in your heart, within your in your spirit, man, is that gift of intercession. And God says you'll be interceding and you'll be praying and I'll be speaking through you. And as I speak through you, I will give you direction and guidance on what to do and how to do things. And God says even now, there's still some questions you have concerning, you know, some property and things that were left to you. You know, should I sell it? Should I keep it? Should I do this? Should I do that? And God says it's going to be during that prayer time, I'm going to visit with you and I'm going to give you even a direction on what to do. The other thing Lord has wanted me to share with you is this. The Lord is saying, woman of God, you are a blessing to me. And the Lord, and I'm hearing the Lord say, woman, know that you did everything that you could in serving your husband. And God says, you honored me through your relationship with him. And God says, because of it, God says, you're going to see a tremendous blessing begin to manifest in your life. And so the Lord says, know that there will not be any good thing that I will withhold from you. And God says, just begin to ask of me and seek of me what it is that you would like to have. And God says, you can best believe I will give you the very desires of your heart, says the Spirit of the living God. So, Father, I thank you so much for Mary. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in her life. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome, woman of God.
Thank you.
God bless
so
you.
Much.
You're welcome, woman of God. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Well, everyone, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to minister to more people tonight. However, come join me. My regular night is Thursday nights. Last Thursday, I had technical difficulties, so I was not able to get on. And so I want to thank you to all of you. It looks like we had almost 50 people that joined on tonight. And I want to thank you all for joining me. And I look forward to visiting with you on Thursday. I'll be back to my regular time, Beauty for Ashes, and we'll finish this little two-part teaching on prophecy, the purpose of prophecy, and why prophecy is still significant today. I love you guys so much, and God bless you. Bye-bye.